Ed.
Presenting Charles Boyer.
Presenting Charles Boyer.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel.
Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Charles Boyer as Michel. And who is Michel? Well, that depends upon what day you meet him. On Monday, he may be the Duc de Beaugency. On Tuesday, the Baron de Chambord. And on Wednesday, just Michel. Witty, charming, and hungry. His profession? Staying alive. His address? Just Paris, of which he knows every corner and cobblestone. If you want to make sure of locating him, ask a pretty girl. She will probably sigh and point to a fashionable restaurant on the boulevard, such as the one he's entering at this very moment.
Good evening, Mr. Conway.
Michel, and how are you this evening?
Tonight, Mr. Conway, I am both sad and sentimental.
Really? For what reason?
I'm sad because I've been watching you eat. All alone, with nobody to share your obvious enjoyment.
And you would like to join me, I assume?
I would. Because, Mr. Conway, tonight I'm bursting with a very moving story which would be worth a great deal of money to any American magazine publisher.
All right, Michel. You get a free meal, I get a story, and you get $200. From me. Somehow it doesn't seem even. What will you have to eat?
A waiter.
Yes, monsieur?
Waiter, have great respect for me. I will have the same as you. Bullion brandy.
Now you can stop being sad, Michel.
Me. Why are you sentimental tonight?
That relates to the story I'm about to tell you. I was reminded this morning of a great love which I have borne in my heart since I was a little boy. But here, read it for yourself in today's newspaper.
Madame Berenice de Blagnac received the tribute of Paris last night on the occasion of her 84th birthday. Speaking briefly from the stage of the Comédie Française...
That is enough, Mr. Conway. You see, Berenice was one of the great actresses of France. When she wept, the audience would bow in grief. And when she laughed... Mr. Conway, there was no sound like it in the world.
She must have been truly great.
She was. Yet, if it weren't for me, she would be lying today in a pauper's grave in a little village of her native Gascony.
How did you work that miracle?
3 years ago, I secured a job with an American motion picture company. They were making a picture in Gascony, and they needed a technical advisor.
You were an expert on that region.
I? I'd never been within 200 miles of the place.
Then how?
Overnight, I became a penniless Gascon nobleman, the Baron de Chizerac. Poof, I was an expert.
I see. One of your rapid transformations. How did you meet this fabulous Berenice?
The film company had been in the village for 3 days, and I found that my job consisted largely of giving authenticity to the picture by sitting in a comfortable chair on the set. Mr. Grant, the producer and director, seldom needed my advice. So after work, I would go to the village square to relax. The waitress there was my confidant. We had known each other in Paris, and she knew all about my terrible past.
Good evening, Michel. Or should I say, Monsieur Lebas?
My dear Jeannette, with you I cannot pretend. But see to it that you treat me with a proper respect when my employers are around.
Michel, do you think I would betray you?
Of course not, my dear. It's good to sit down again. Now tell me, Jeannette, what does that magnificent Chef Paul have on the menu tonight? The usual overboiled beef and that disaster he calls his salad?
I'm afraid so, Michel.
All right, you may bring it to me. And some wine to drown it with. It tastes far better than it deserves. You know, it's a mystery to me how Paul can convert the beautiful food I see growing in the fields into the terrible things that come out of his pots and pans. You know, it takes a special kind of art to do so badly. Oh, I see my employer coming. I must become again the very insincere Baron de Suzerac.
Yes, Michel. I'll have your dinner in a minute.
Mr. Grant.
Oh, there you are, Michel.
These scenes for tomorrow have been rewritten. I wonder if you'd take a quick look at them. You can drop them off at the hotel for me.
Certainly, Mr. Grant. I'm sure they'll be all right.
Oh, I hope they are. I don't want to worry about changes, too.
Something wrong, Mr. Grant? I thought you were pleased with the progress of the picture.
Well, I am really, Michelle, but the Home Office isn't happy. Our publicity has dwindled to a thin trickle, and nothing we send out seems to please them. I'd appreciate it if you'd get these pages back to me as soon as you can.
You shall have them in an hour.
Thank you. Sorry I have to rush off.
It is my misfortune, Mr. Grant.
Here you are, Michelle. It looks a little better than usual.
Yeah, which means it probably tastes twice as bad. Oh, Jeanette, how would you like to look through these pages of an American picture script and tell me if there is anything in them which would make a Gascon laugh with derision?
I, monsieur?
Certainly. You are just as qualified an expert as I am. Would you like to have my job? To become technical advisor on this picture?
As a matter of fact, Michel, I could use another job. I just lost some extra work I was depending on.
That has been my regular misfortune. What was the job, Jeanette?
You'll laugh when I tell you, Michel.
You wish me to, I will laugh. Otherwise, I shall be very serious.
All right, then. Every evening, promptly at 4 o'clock, I used to meet an old lady at the front door of this building. She was always dressed in the same old-fashioned gown, and she wore a hat and gloves, even on the hottest days. She'd step past me, and I'd follow respectfully behind her, twice around the square. The last time, she was always very tired. I could tell from the way she walked, it was as if every step took all her strength. When I tried to help her, she always held herself proud and straight and managed to get back to the door herself. There she'd turn and say, "Good night, Jeanette." And I'd answer, "Good night, Madame de Blagnac."
What? Madame de Blagnac? Not Berenice de Blagnac.
That's right. How did you know?
Oh, you're joking, Jeanette. Here? Alive? In this little village? I don't believe it.
I knew you would laugh at me, Michel.
Oh, my dear little Jeanette, I'm not laughing. She only knew. I'm nearer to crying. Where is she? What have you done with her?
I didn't do anything with her, Michel. It wasn't my fault. She just stopped going for walks, told me she didn't need me anymore. Now she stays in a room all by herself upstairs. A room on the second floor with the balcony. Really, Michel, I didn't do anything wrong.
Of course you didn't. Please forgive me. Now tell me. Tell me, Madame de Blagnac lives in this very building on the second floor?
Yes, monsieur.
Jeanette, take this visiting card upstairs to Madame de Blagnac. Tell her that a great admirer wishes to pay his respects to one of the great women of France.
It's a lovely card, Michel. Baron Michel de Suzerac. And a lovely crest. What nobleman did you steal it from?
If you promise to keep it a secret, I will tell you. I copied that crest from the label of a bottle of American salad dressing. Well, until Jeanette brought me the answer, Mr. Conway, I lived in the agony of a possible refusal. And you know, it hurt my conscience to approach La Berenice under false colors, to invade her presence as a...
Oh, come now, Michel. You don't mean to tell me really conscience-stricken about a little deception.
You find that hard to believe, eh? Ah, but then, you never saw Berenice perform. You never got into the theater by sleeping through the ticket taker's legs because you didn't have a cent in your pocket. You never hid from the ushers until the house lights went out. And then watched, breathless, afraid to move. Afraid to mar a performance of matchless purity. Oh, it's very hard to describe, Mr. Conway. It was, how should I say it? I couldn't find the words. Each performance was an act of dedication. On the few occasions when I saw her perform, I would leave the theater resolved never to sin again.
How long did that remarkable transformation last?
Oh, well, that is quite another matter.
And did she receive you? Did she grant the Baron an audience?
Jeanette brought me word that I might present myself at 4 o'clock the following afternoon, precisely at that time. I was formally ushered into her room by Jeanette.
Madame... The Baron Michel de Suzerac.
Madame.
Monsieur le Baron, it is most kind of you to call. Thank you, Jeanette. You may go now.
Yes, Madame.
You'll excuse me, Monsieur Le Baron, if I receive you from my bed. My health, unfortunately, limits me to this upstage position.
Oh, madame, only you can make a bed look so completely like a throne.
I have not heard a speech like that in many years. It is good to hear it, even though I question its accuracy. A throne, this miserable bed, a throne room, this wretched little box. No, my friend. A throne room should blaze with crystal light. It should shout of power and strength and blind arrogance. Do you see that in this room, Baron?
You make me see it, madame. The stage of a theater is also a box, yet I've seen you transform it with a single gesture into a forest of giant trees, 100 feet tall, and then with one word or a slight movement of your head, transmute the forest into the marble of a Greek temple. I've wept with you in ancient Carthage. I rejoiced with you in the Rome of the Caesars. I laughed with you in Shakespeare's London. And Molière and I applauded you in Paris. So now, madame, I see a throne.
Baron, thank you. I had thought that the world had forgotten. I've been alone for so many years. So incredibly alone. Only the mad hear applause when no applause exists. I am grateful to you, Baron, to hear, perhaps for the last time, words which tell me that I did not fail, that my work was good and true.
Oh, Madame de Blagnac.
You have said that I have made others see what was not there. No actress can ask for a greater tribute. But I cannot fool myself. Shall I describe to you the scene in this room? It is oblong. Its four walls are dark. The door opens inward, not outward. There is no light. There is no hope. It is a coffin, monsieur.
Allow me the privilege of reviewing the play, madame. A critic often sees elements hidden even from the writer.
No. No, it's no use. One favorable review cannot undo the emptiness of 20 years. I beg you to excuse me, Baron. I'm tired. Very tired.
Of course.
Thank you for coming to see me. It was an act of great kindness.
With your permission, madame, I shall call again tomorrow and tomorrow after that.
I shall consider your request, monsieur. Goodbye.
Adieu, madame. Until tomorrow.
Was your visit a success?
It took me deep into a strange region, into a land of shadows. How long has she been like this?
It was a week ago that she stopped going for walks. She hasn't been out of her room since then.
What does she say to you? What does she talk about?
She really doesn't talk to me, Michelle. She's very formal, and I don't know what to say to her. She seems to be from another world.
That's right, Janet. A world inhabited by different people who spoke another language. Does anyone come to see her?
No. Nobody, Michelle. Except, of course, Dr. Rougier.
Dr. Rougier?
Our village doctor. He usually comes to see her in the morning. Oh. They sit and talk.
Of course, the doctor. Tell me, Jeannette, where is Dr. Rouge's office?
Right across the square. Why? Are you sick, Michelle?
In a way, little Jeannette. In a way. Oh, well, then there is nothing seriously wrong with her, Doctor.
Oh, you misunderstood me, Baron. I did not say that there was nothing wrong with Madame de Blagnac. It is true that you could not see her sickness under a microscope, but she is a very sick woman. In the early days of medicine, Baron, a learned scholar wrote a book entitled The Anatomy of Melancholy. Perhaps you can find the answer there.
I understand, Doctor, but
What is the cause of this disease? It has a beginning and it must have an end.
In 3 days, Berenice will celebrate her 80th birthday. But how? As she once celebrated it? With the stage crowded with her favorite roses and a champagne party after the performance? Oh, no, monsieur. Berenice has been forgotten by those to whom her name alone once meant romance. 1 week ago, she took to her bed and informed me, her doctor and friend, that she would never set foot on the ground again.
Oh, no, this cannot be. She must go away. Back to Paris, perhaps.
I tell you this in all confidence, Baron. Madame de Blagnac is completely without funds.
Oh.
It is hard for me to say this. I have been secretly paying her small bill at the pension myself.
Oh, I see.
I am a doctor. My powers are limited. Normally, Berenice could live for years more. But this way, nature has a way of punishing those who give up too soon.
Well, then, she's dying, Dr. Ogier?
I'm afraid so. And I am powerless to help.
So you see, Mr. Conway, I had found Berenice too late. If the doctor felt powerless to help, you can imagine my feelings. I was not a doctor. I was not even a baron. The most extravagant thoughts crossed my mind, but they were not very practical.
For some things, there is no practical solution, Michel.
You are wrong, Mr. Conway. There is a practical solution for everything. But there is also sometimes a romantic one that is better. Unfortunately, however, the romantic method usually costs money. And about money, one must always be practical.
So the best approach is to be practically romantic. Or should it be romantically practical? Was that the way you solved it, Michel?
No.
Who?
My solution was completely romantic. You see, I had to act very fast. Because when I called on Madame de Blagnac the next day, she returned my card with a message which read, Madame de Blagnac thanks the Baron de Suzerac, but regrets to inform him that she is no longer receiving anyone.
Now, the crisis had arrived.
Precisely. The crisis was at hand. I spent 2 hours in agony. 2 hours in which I made and rejected 1,000 plans. And then I went to see Mr. Grant, my American employer, on the picture set.
You come out of the shack, girl. Look, Michelle, I'd like to do it, but we're behind schedule and over budget. That's a fatal combination.
Look, Mr. Grant, it would only take 1 hour of the company's time.
I'd attend to all the rest.
Yes, but flying in all that food and the flowers, when the studio sees those items on the budget, they'll really blow their tops.
Now, excuse me a minute.
I'll lay that track out further. That's it right there, Joe.
I'm sorry, Michelle. Where were we?
We were talking about money, Mr. Grant.
I should have guessed that myself. Look, Michelle, I want to do it. I had no idea she lived here in town until you told me, but how can I justify it? It's a wonderful gesture.
Yes, and it solves your publicity problem.
It does? How?
Look, if you inform the newspapers right away, you will be flooded with reporters and photographers.
Huh?
You will be submerged in newspaper clippings with headlines, American Motion Picture Company takes time out from work to pay tribute to great French actress. Just think of that, Mr. Grant.
I wonder. Well, maybe you're right. Yes, it would make a very good story, Mr.
Grant. Of course it would. The publicity would be worth a fortune to the studio.
Are you sure you can do it?
Huh?
Because I can't give you much time or help. You'll round up the people from the village and get them to square on time.
Certainly.
And you'll definitely get her to appear?
Definitely.
All right, Michelle, you win. I appoint you producer, director, and anything else you think necessary.
Ah, Mr. Grant, if I had the proper influence, I would make you a member of the Legion of Honor.
Yes, Michel.
Did the lobsters arrive from Marseille yet?
Yes, Michel.
What did you do with them?
I gave them to Paul.
To Paul? To that murderer? To that mortal enemy of good food? Oh, how could you do such a thing to me, Jeannette?
I gave them to Paul just to put on ice, Michel. I think he can do that without making any mistakes.
I'll tell you something, Jeannette. I doubt.
You frightened him so he won't break an egg unless you tell him to.
Good. You've heard of G-men and T-men? You've seen them in American pictures?
Of course.
Well, I am sometimes forced to be a K-man.
What is that?
A kitchen man. I prevent crimes committed by questionable cooks.
Oh, Michel, you're impossible.
You're right. Today I don't even exist. At this very moment, I'm floating on a beautiful white cloud in a deep blue sky.
Oh, it's possible to fall off, you know.
Only if there is a hole in the cloud. Oh, which reminds me, let me have the list. There mustn't be any holes in that.
You've gone over it 10 times already.
No matter. Let me see. The ingredients for the sauce, the lace, tablecloth, and candles. Now remember, Jeanette, remember, you and the others will have 10 minutes, no more, to turn her bedroom into a reception room. Everything must be ready. Food, lights.
Yes, I know, Mr. Silverware,
the champagne on ice, the flowers, the... Oh, good heavens, the roses. What has happened to them?
The florist wired from Paris that they were on the way.
Good. What else? Oh, I have a terrible feeling that I have forgotten something. The doctor! I must see him right away. Something must be wrong with me. How could I do such a thing?
Michelle!
This is a very elaborate medicine you have compounded, Baron. There are many ingredients. I hope it works better than anything I have prescribed.
Oh, but it will. It will.
And you have reserved for me perhaps the most difficult role, to prepare her without her knowing for the operation.
That is right, Dr. Rougier. Tell me, do you know Corneille's Le Cid?
Every French schoolboy knows Le Cid, Baron.
Of course. Well, tomorrow, her birthday, you will go to her room at 5 o'clock and ask her, as a special favor to you, to fix her hair as she once did when she played the part of Chimène so gloriously. When she's ready, you will open the casement window to her room. I will be waiting on the square, and I shall do the rest.
I am not a very good actor, Baron.
Tomorrow, Doctor, tomorrow you must be inspired.
The list, Jeanette.
Yes, Michelle. Don't you know it by heart yet?
Well, it looks as if everything is ready. The mayor has informed all the villagers. Oh, you should see the beautiful flowers they are bringing in from the countryside, Jeanette.
Michel.
Yes, my dear?
The largest bouquet of flowers from Paris is from you, isn't it?
Yes, Jeanette, it's from me. My entire salary as a fraudulent baron in one bouquet of flowers. In an unguarded moment, I let my emotion run away with my wallet.
Not your emotions, Michel. Your heart.
Yes, but unfortunately, my dear, my heart and my stomach are intimately connected. One cannot exist without the other. They are like two mortal enemies manacled together by fate. And fate today is in the hands of Bérénice de Blagnac. If she fails to respond to the treatment, if she refuses to appear...
What then, Michel?
Well, I will never be able to face my stomach again. They're still coming. Now, why is it, Mr. Grant, that a certain portion of the audience always arrives after the first act curtain goes up?
I don't know.
And what's the matter with that doctor? What is he doing up there? Why doesn't that window open?
I'll never be able to go back home if she doesn't come out, Michelle.
Oh, Mr. Grant, please don't say such... The window! It's open.
All right, Michelle. You're on. Up that trellis to the platform by the balcony. I'll go around to her room, give a hand there. Good luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Go ahead now.
Chimène.
Who is it? Who calls Chimène?
It is I, Rodrigue.
Is Rodrigue in my house? In my eyes, see?
What is the meaning of this, Monsieur Le Bain?
This creature... All these clowns.
Go on, madame. You're lying.
I can't.
Please.
It's too much, monsieur. How far is it?
Bérénice, your audience is waiting.
Yes. What would you hear, Rodrigue?
My life I offer. Accept, if it please you, the full measure of my devotion.
Rodrigue. Wonderfully does my changing heart defend thee. If my unhappy mind cruel has seemed... 'Twas but in despair, and not with blame for thee. Nay, I am not thy judge. The sight of what I love sweeps away the anguish of my tormented soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, a toast to the first lady of the Theatre of France, to Bérénice.
My dearly beloved friends, do you see before you a miracle which you have wrought? A woman who, at the age of 80, has been born again. What words are there to say to people who have restored you to life, given you a reason for living? Thank you. A thousand thanks from the depths of an old woman's heart.
Madame de Blagnac, you owe us nothing. It is for us to thank you for allowing us to pay debt long overdue.
There's only one thing I can say in answer, and that is, it's high time we finished the champagne. Oh, Baron. A word with you.
Yes, madame.
My congratulations for your performance of Rodrigue.
Oh, please.
And just a word of advice, Baron.
Yes?
If you wish to go on posing as a Gascon nobleman, I would strongly advise you to remove the very definite traces of Parisian accent. But still, sure.
Oh, but, madame...
I promise not to reveal your secret if you swear that you'll not betray mine.
Oh, and what is your terrible secret, Madame de Blagnac?
That I watched all the preparations on the square through a hole in my window.
What? You watch? And that was it, Mr. Conway. The event did get a great deal of publicity. And my employer, Mr. Grant, was very pleased.
What about Madame de Blagnac? Did she ever go back on the stage?
Oh, no, no. She was happy to stay in the little village where the people take such good care of her. Once a year, on the occasion of her birthday, she travels in state to Paris and appears on the stage of the Comédie Française to receive the tribute of the city.
A very beautiful story, Michel. And did you ever revisit Gascony?
No, Mr. Conway, because shortly after that, well, I became involved in a surprising adventure in which I held the sailing of the Queen Mary for 7 days.
Oh, I don't believe it. Tell me about it.
Well, I would like to, but it's getting late. And besides, you know, that is another story and another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. Tonight you heard Herbert Butterfield as Bart Conway. Also in the cast were Jane Morgan, Charlotte Lawrence, Herbert Rawlinson, Jerry Hausner, and Margot Power. Our show was directed by Matt Wolfe. Tonight's script was written by David Robeson. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Boyer and Clement Scott Gilbert. This program was transcribed. Listen again next week at this same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. Don Stanley speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC.